This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to Joy 94.9, Chris. How are you going?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Congratulations, firstly, on your debut solo single, Flow.
Thank you.
It's getting some really good feedback here on Joy 94.9.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, everyone's loving those slow jams and stuff, so congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thank you, yeah.
No, you wrote the track about 2 years ago, didn't you? And you've been working with some great people as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I the album's almost completely Melbourne-based. I met this guy called JC here in Melbourne, and the whole album was done through him and another guy called Alan D, and they fall under Hoopla Records. And so pretty much I think every song but two was done here in Melbourne.
Fantastic. We love that. We love homegrown talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how many songs have you written for the album so far?
I reckon about 16 or 17. I mean, there's more that sort of didn't make the cut. We didn't put them on the record, and I mean, we'll save some for the next as well. But the written for the album so far, there's about 16 or 17, but as far as songs that I've written, I wish I could count them.
There's a few samples on your MySpace page as well. Will some of those songs be on the album?
Definitely.
So songs like Dangerous and everything,
All those songs are on the record.
Fantastic. So what can fans expect from the album? Is it going to be more R&B, or are you going to mix things up a bit?
There's a lot of R&B. I'm pretty old school as far as my influences go, but I've tried to sort of, I mean, that's how I've sort of defined my sound. I've taken the old school element and added that sort of new school vibe to it. But there's a lot of R&B stuff on there, and there's a lot of sort of stuff that I've been working on as well. So I might throw some rock in there as well. I grew up in Adelaide, so I didn't get to sing a lot of R&B while I was over there. So I was singing mostly rock. So I've sort of got a bit of a love for rock as well. And so we'll probably have a few different elements on there.
Because I saw an interview on you online, and you mentioned that there isn't many R&B clubs in Adelaide, and there's heaps in Melbourne.
No, there's not. When I got to Melbourne, I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah. So there's heaps of clubs here in Melbourne that you can get really good R&B and some really good live bands and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you've posted a few clips as well on your YouTube channel. You also use Twitter and Facebook. How important has social media been in launching your career and getting your music out there?
It's been massive. I mean, for an act who isn't going through a major label, that's sort of like your key. So, I mean, I've got fans that have been with me since I was 15 years old. You know, like they heard me sing when Guy was an idol, and, you know, they sort of took a liking to it. And, I mean, I've got fans that have been with me for that long. And the only way for them to sort of keep in touch and for me to keep in touch with them musically is to have those forms of social media, so YouTube videos and you know, your Facebook groups and your Twitter and stuff like that. So it's definitely been huge. I remember the day the single went out, it actually came out a day early than we'd expected on iTunes, and I tweeted like probably 2 minutes after I found out, and then I'm like, hey guys, you guys can buy my single, and within 2 hours it was at number 11 on the R&B charts on iTunes. So, you know, it's such a great tool.
What's the fan reaction been like to Flow so far? Like, your true fans, have they embraced Flow as you expected?
It's been great. I mean, with the fans that have been with me for a while,
They've
heard me perform the song a couple of times, so they've sort of been waiting for it for a little bit. And I was getting emails and you know, posts sort of saying, hey, when is it going to come out? And so, I mean, the response from that has been amazing. But even for new fans that are sort of come across and like the music, and people that have heard it on radio overnight after sunrise, I had about 450 new followers, so which was unreal. I was so happy, and I mean that's the power of social media, really.
It does work, because I actually went on iTunes and got it. I think the first day it was released, and I actually played it on Sound Museum that Wednesday night. And we're the first ones to play it here on Joy, so we're very proud of that.
Fantastic. I'm so happy to hear that.
Now, talking of YouTube, obviously your video was on there as well. What was that like to record? Did you, because doing it independently, you obviously had to rope in a few favours.
Yeah. Quite honestly, the most fun that I've ever had in my entire life. I was so nervous. And, Yeah, like, I mean, I was so scared that I was going to look like a tool or, you know, just they pitched a few models and stuff like that for the love interest for the video. And I'd actually met the girl who's in it now. She's a really, really good friend of mine. I met her in Thailand while I was on holidays with my family. And she's such a great, talented actor. She's on a show called Dance Academy. And I knew her. And I'm like, rather than using some model that I've never met before and pretend like there's this chemistry there, I thought I'd get a friend to do it. And she's just such a great actress, and she made it so easy for me. I was so scared at what I would look like. And yeah, so she helped me a lot and just, you know, made the clip really, really easy to make. And yeah, so I can quite honestly say that it was the most fun that I've ever had.
Now, as an independent artist, you're funding all this yourself with a bit of help from your family.
Yes.
Having full total control over everything must be fantastic. It's very hands-on. It must be like a bit of a business for you.
Absolutely. I mean, this is absolutely a business for me. I started off as, you know, like a small business. You start developing it, and yeah, I mean, we're now at a point where we're seeing some success, and yeah, I mean, we're out there publicly, and people, you know, people are enjoying it, and yeah, I'm just so happy that it's working.
So, what's the hardest thing, Chris, about being an independent artist?
Probably recognition. I mean, you know, radio stations are probably a little bit more reluctant to play it. Being a new act, not having that major record label pull, you know, it sort of isn't at the top of the agenda for them to be playing it because it's not backed by a label. So, you know, you've got to prove yourself a little bit more, and you've got to really, really work hard as an artist to prove yourself, especially when you're not going through a major, because, you know, you don't have a senior executive A&R calling up the radio station saying, hey, you know, we've got this new act, we need you guys to play it, and you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, you've got to work a little bit harder, and in that sense, it's been hard work, but it's been so much fun.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Let's go back a few years, Chris. You began writing songs from about age 11. You play guitar and piano. Who were your musical influences growing up?
For me, it was I sort of in my house. This is what I had growing up. I had people like Brian McKnight. Brian McKnight was the reason I started singing. Definitely my biggest influence, especially for my sound. I've almost formed my voice off of him. He was such a big influence of mine. But people, I mean, lying around my house is like Brian McKnight, Boyz II Men, Babyface, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and stuff like that. I mean, the only thing that I had other than that kind of stuff was probably like the Backstreet Boys. And so those are my influences. And even the Backstreet Boys had a bit of an old school sound. So it was super, super old school. You know, I wasn't listening to the Wiggles growing up or, you know, like some of those like more poppy sort of groups. They weren't really a big influence on me. It was really, really soulful R&B stuff. And that's sort of what's formed my sound. And as I've gotten older, I've started listening to people like Usher and Ne-Yo. And Ne-Yo's been such a massive influence on me.
Yeah, so I mean, interesting that you say that, because I grew up in New Zealand in the 90s, where R&B has always been really popular. And I still love those old school jams from Boyz II Men, Babyface, All For One.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you obviously prefer the old school stuff. What's your take on the recent stuff with everyone renting a rapper on everything?
Well, I mean, just like everything, you know, music is changing, and, you know, you've got to sort of keep with the times and, you know, you sort of just keep going along. But look, I'm not knocking modern music at all. I mean, it's creative in its own way. And I mean, whilst I love listening to someone just sing with a piano or sing with a guitar, you know, you can't do that anymore. There's new ways of being creative, and you know, and this is the new way. And as long as it's not getting lazy, you know, we can you can still enjoy it.
A lot of R&B acts like Usher, Snoop, even our own Stan Walker and Jessica Marboy have recently dabbled into dance music by releasing some really great tracks for the dance floor. Is this something that you want to try in the future?
Definitely. I mean, the ultimate, especially for an R&B artist, because a lot of the time, you know, your songs are being played in clubs and stuff like that. And so you want people to be able to dance. So, I mean, there's a lot of dance stuff on my album. Whilst it's still, I've tried to keep it really, really melodic. And you'll be able to tell on my record that Neo is a big influence, because Neo is such a great writer. He's such a melodic writer, and I've tried to sort of try and keep that in mind and try to be as melodic as possible. And, you know, there's a few old school melodies on there as well.
Now, Chris, you must be hearing this all the time, but I guess we should briefly talk about it. But your older brother, of course, is Guy Sebastian, who won Australian Idol back in 2003. He's had a fantastic career so far. Now, you obviously want to prove yourself and let the public know that you are two very different people,
Absolutely.
So with Guy, has he given you some advice on how to sort of cope with this, doing it this independently?
Definitely. I mean, he's always been such a massive support of mine, and you know, I've toured with him twice now, and I've learned everything that I know just from watching him and how he is with people and how he handles himself in the media, and you know what he does with his music. And I mean, I've been in Sydney at times where he's done radio interviews for 12 hours a day, and then, you know, it's 7 o'clock at night, he hasn't even eaten yet, and he will go straight to the studio by himself, and he'll just be working and he'll be writing. And you know, I mean, I've walked in on him in the studio and he's just been slaving over this hook that he's working on. And you know, I mean, and that's been really inspiring for me, because I got to see what it's like to be in the industry, and I've learned how hard you have to work to keep yourself in the industry. And with times changing and with so many people coming through, you've got to you know, stay on the ball. And I've sort of watched that, and that's inspired me to work really hard, and you know, it's taught me so much of what I know now.
Because we've interviewed Guy previously on Sound Museum, and that's one thing that I really admire about him. His work ethic is so strong. He works so hard.
Absolutely.
Now, finally, Chris, we're going to finish up with a couple of quick-fire questions for you. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Who copied who with the tats? You or Guy?
No, we've always wanted tats. So, I mean, it's something we were never allowed to, so it was probably because we were never allowed to that we wanted it even more.
Who was the first one, though?
He was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
X Factor or Australian Idol?
Oh, man. I couldn't choose. I guess we've got a soft spot for Australian Idol.
CDs or downloads?
CDs, definitely.
Your ideal duet partner?
My ideal duet partner? It's going to sound so cliche, but Beyonce is, like, incredible.
And obviously, because you're on Joy 94.9, your most campus music on your iPod?
I would say, after the accusation of my friends, probably Glee. I got a really soft spot for Glee. I love that show. And so I've got heaps of their stuff on there. And my friends always accuse it as being that. So I would say that.
Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today on Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay lesbian radio station.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And best of luck with Flo. And we can't wait for the album either. It sounds fantastic.
Unreal. Thank you so much.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.